So let me end where I began, thinking about that beautiful but deadly and deserted road in Martinique. What I did not say about the road sign when I began this talk is that I saw it only in the rearview mirror, only after having traveled a road that was supposed to be closed. Danger of death. Somehow the sign I saw only at the end of the road was missing its companion sign at the beginning, where I unwittingly set out on a road supposed to be closed. So I'm lucky to be here today. Slide. There is something in the structure. This is not the sign, but I don't have the sign, so this is interesting in its own right. There's something in the structure of feeling that resembles the response of a post-colonialist to recognizing progress narratives in environmental discourse. Hey, I thought we had traveled this road already and closed it down for good, not just for repairs. But I also think that there's something deeper here than the ordinary roadblocks that can obstruct interdisciplinary thinking. The belatedness of the warning about what is coming around the bend, what the future seems to hold but doesn't realize in the end, a warning that one sees too late, if at all, in the rearview mirror, is suggestive of a more fundamental palimpsestic belatedness of late modernity. The condition where the end of the road, progress, has always already been displaced or abandoned by the sign of its own abandonment, even if it's all too easy to miss the sign and head out for progress anyway. The condition of being always already too late to get it right, always already too late to love nature. I said that for Timothy Warren, but he's not going to be here, but it's very much connected with his ideas. This temporal predicament both troubles me as a citizen and fascinates me as a student of narrative's endless capacity to trouble, cause, and effect, and to cause trouble. To recognize only in retrospect such warnings about the future's bright future is reminiscent of Walter Benjamin's famous image of the angel of history. Let me read from Benjamin's description of the angel of history. Yeah, he begins in the sky. His face is turned toward the past. Where we perceive a chain of events, he sees one single catastrophe which keeps piling wreckage upon wreckage and hurls it in front of his feet. The angel would like to stay, awaken the dead, and make whole what has been smashed. But a storm is blowing from paradise. It has got caught in his wings with such violence that the angel can no longer close them. The storm irresistibly propels him into the future to which his back is turned. While the pile of debris before him goes skyward, this storm is what we call progress. Benjamin here asks us to take a different view of narratives of history as progress, to imagine one single catastrophe which keeps piling wreckage upon wreckage, a pile of debris growing ever skyward. Benjamin's image of this wasted landscape has largely been read metaphorically as an account of the history of barbarism, oppression, violence, and injustice that has gone by the name of civilization. But I want to suggest that we read it literally, as devastated landscape, earth buried under the wreckage and debris of progress ravaged by the storm of history. In his desire to make this damage whole, a desire that is thwarted by the force of the wind in his wings that propels him forward into the future to which his back is turned, in his thwarted desire, nonetheless, Benjamin's angel of history becomes an angel of trash. An angel who might resemble Disney's Wall-E, left to tend the wreckage and debris until the planet Earth can once again be a home fit for all. Yet how to get from here to there? It's important to keep in mind the fact that Benjamin saw narratives of historical decline as the mere obverse of progress narratives, rather than more adequate forms of engagement with history. Benjamin's suspicion of both progress and decline as ready-made narrative forms of historical understanding is, I would argue, salutary, as literary critics, others in the humanities, and citizens at large ponder the relationship between scientific observations and predictions of planetary ecological crisis on the one hand, and political discourse about what to do about it on the other. My own road sign, Caution, Progress Narratives Ahead, is thus intended as a kind of retrospective glance at future projection. What is the appeal of environmental progress narratives? What must they leave out? How do they ignore the ways in which what they intervene in was created by an earlier generation of progress narratives? This attempt to understand what is at stake in future projections that so recycle the past seems very much in the spirit of your ongoing inquiry into the cultural prehistory of environmentalism as an attempt to confront the fundamental challenge of our century that is at once so new and so long in the making, to suggest the need for narratives other than green gospel, green apocalypse, or a rather different kind of green revolution to be launched by ecological refugees, our own wretched